Hi guys, this is Ben from 561 Music. We have a new single out. It's called Deader Than Dead from our new band, Nina's Yard Party. It's the second single we've released, and it's available here on the 561 Music YouTube channel or on all streaming services. Go and check it out. We spent a lot of time working on the video, and it came out really great, I think.
Music free ya, don't allow propaganda to teach ya. So many lies to allow me to show ya. It's hardest living in the world of the dead, yeah. Shouts ring out, dead and dead.
I can't right now.
I know, it's pretty weird. Put your leaper away, let's get on with it. Welcome to 561 Music. My name's Ben.
And I'm Hector Antonio Diaz.
That's right, you are. I only discovered this right now, which is pretty exciting.
That's not true. I've told you that about 38 times.
I know,
but like my wife, you don't listen to me either.
No, it's true. I did forget, clearly. But what have we been up to, Hector?
Absolutely nothing. Oh, wait, except we played 14 times this week.
Yeah. The best one, one's a big word. The most sort of like... exciting one. Yeah. The most exciting one was we played at the Seafood Festival in Pompano.
Yeah, that was cool. It was a cool stage.
Yeah. And we were on pretty early, but now I know what it is. I'm going to try and get us a later slot next year.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Like a headliner.
Yeah.
With lights.
Exactly. It was really, really cool. And then I played at Guanabanas. And then what else did we do?
So Friday we played at Tiki 52.
That's right.
And that was fun.
It was
always fun there, man. It was always a good crowd. And then Saturday we had that private event.
Oh, yeah.
We thought it was a birthday party.
Yeah.
And then we got there and it turned out it was like a reception of some sort, not a wedding reception per se, but like a party after the fact, like well after the fact, I guess. And, but they were both on their second marriage and they were like 85 or something.
Yeah, they were getting up there.
And pretty much everyone at this reception was in their, like, 70s and 80s.
They were, like, seniors, and they were, like, eloping together to a new town. They'd, like, just got hitched, and they were, like, the party was because they were heading off. I think they were moving to the villages.
I had such mixed feelings, man, because so many people came up to us and were like, I love you guys, you're so good. But then I kept thinking to myself, like, you're all old. Is this what we've become? Like,
I mean, we're not headed in that direction.
Bad.
As older folk go, they were pretty hip, man.
They were pretty cool, though.
Yeah, like half of them were from
the
villages.
They were dancing. They were having a good time, man.
Do you know about the villages, the deal?
I do know about the villages.
Yeah.
But they're not firsthand.
Upside down pineapple town.
Something like that. Loofahs and stuff.
Yeah, totally. But we had a good time. It was definitely not what we expected. The food was left under desired, but everything else was pretty cool about it.
It was just the weirdest.
It was really weird.
It was a very weird kid. All right, but let's move on with the guests.
I can't right now. I know, it was pretty weird. Put your leaper away, let's get on with it. All right, so we have JP Dragon and Junebug with us. How's it going, guys?
Hey. Excellent.
Excellent.
Thank you very much.
Hopefully you're having as good a time as we are.
Yeah. I was holding in my laughs.
You're not to laugh. It's okay. Fun is allowed on the 561 Music.
Never.
Yeah. Never.
So the villages.
I know.
Sounds pretty interesting. I mean.
Well, we had people come up to us. And by people, I mean like older women. They were like, you guys are so good. We live up in the villages. We should take your card and then like invite you guys up to play. And I was like getting a little nervous about that. I don't know.
Oh, man. I wouldn't turn it down though. I'll tell you what, if nothing else, it'd be interesting.
I mean, James definitely will turn it down.
Yeah.
But you know, that's another podcast.
So you guys are a couple who also play music separately and together.
Uh-huh.
That's very exciting. Could you, why don't we sort of go through like one after the other and just tell us a little bit about your music and what inspired you to start making it, and then we can talk about how you, how you've come together and writing it together. Why don't you start with JP?
Sure.
Yeah. When did you start playing music? How old were you when you picked up an instrument?
I started playing guitar when I was about 4 years old.
Yeah.
I couldn't really play very well. I played because my cousin, he started playing, and he was getting a lot of family attention. Like, the family would, like, kind of gather around him, and I was like, oh, that bastard. That's so cool, you know? And so I like kept hacking at it, and I had this like old classical with like action like that.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It was just like,
I know that.
It hurt. So had this guitar instructor who was like this big dude. I mean, big, big, massive guy, and he scared the crap out of me. And so it was like awkward at first. Like when I first got started, I just like, I had a love for like hearing music, and I knew I was just drawn to it, but it really hurt. Yeah. So I didn't really start playing until I was about like six, where I could play songs.
Yeah.
And I like, that's when I got a new teacher and like got into really like playing and like,
sure.
You know, and then like Joe Satriani was my hero, and then, like really Eric cool. Johnson, and I went that's... down that route.
So you started then, like really cooking pretty early then.
By the time I was like 10, 11, I was trying to like hack away at like, you know, Metallica solos and stuff. And I had learned like, you know, Stairway and like the leads to, you know, the major popular tunes by the time I was about 15, I'd say.
Cool, yeah. I only picked up a guitar when I was about 12, so you've been beat by about 6 years. That's really cool. The So then, in terms of like other instruments and things, did you ever pick up any other instruments?
Yeah, I played drums when we didn't have a drummer, and I just kind of figured it out. And then I had a couple of friends that were real good drummers and instructors, and so I started to like practice and got a practice pad and started with rudiments and got my own drum set. And cool. So I played drums and I practice actively, and I play a little bit of bass. I sing a little bit, and I love music. My whole thing is just making music that I would want to listen to. I really don't, like, I'm not too concerned about, like, anything but how it sounds to me, really.
Yeah, I think just really a healthy love it, attitude. You know? No, totally. What sort of drew you towards making, like, reggae music and that kind of neck of the woods?
So I have a really close friend of mine. This guy, he's a Jamaican dude. We grew up on the same block, and we that was out in Loxahatchee, actually.
Right.
And it's a good friend, mutual friend of Yaz. And
cool.
So Yaz and I were playing when we were about 15 together with this dude, Peter Francis, awesome drummer, and his brother JV and Francis had a trio, JV and Francis trio, for a long time. Awesome jazz pianist.
Sick.
And so we played reggae. Peter's dad had a band that was like an opening supporting act for Bob Marley in Jamaica. And right. So I learned how to play reggae upstrokes from somebody who was like actively involved in the Jamaican reggae scene.
Right on.
Back in the day. And
that's
so,
really cool that you that you knew Yaz when if ever you're gonna have someone to kick around and play music with, Yaz right. is a great one. He's right. so good.
Yeah. He's a special dude. He's a real Yaz is as far as like anything musically technical, anything just. He's the guy I always defer to. I always ask him like, "What do you think of this mix? What do you think of this chord? What do you think of this melody?" Like. I must bug the crap out of him because he's just such a resource for me. But
you know what the thing about Yaz is that I find almost like a little bewitching is that he has this calmness about him. It's like you feel like if you ask him to listen to something, he actually does listen mm-hmm. to it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and like because there's a lot of people who kind of, including myself half the time, who's sort of like all caught up in their own business and like, you know, sort of bouncing from pillar to post. But Yaz has this kind of stillness, which I envy so much.
Mm. Yeah.
That's why he's good at mixing. That's why he's good at, you know, listening.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He's got a really good ear, man.
He does.
Yeah, he's actually producing the, you know, mixing and mastering and recording and all that stuff for us for Euphobia.
Yeah. No, he's great, man. He does have a great ear and a completely different sort of temperament than me, and something that I just find, you know, I get a little jealous of at times. Just calm, you know. Yeah. Mm. So that's cool. So you've been playing reggae since the get then. It's like really since get go. That's cool.
Yeah, and then I mean, I've always liked bands like Sublime and Pepper and some of the, you know, the more American stuff, but I really like I'm a real old school like Peter Tosh guy.
Yeah.
You know, like Don Carlos is probably my biggest influence in Black Uhuru. Like
cool.
I love like that kind of reggae.
Yeah, man. Yeah, me too, dude. That's awesome. So, Junebug, when did you start playing music?
So, I must have been about, like, 13 or 14. And my grandfather used to play, and my uncle, and on my dad's side, and then on my mom's side, we're all Italian off the boat, you know, Avellino, Italy. So, in Italian, speaking, singing, and accordions, and all kinds
accordions.
Of like, standing
That's
on
cool.
the table, and... Lots of wine, making our own wine in Brooklyn, New York, you know. So I grew up around music on both sides of my family. I was so lucky.
Nice.
My grandfather was like a Johnny Cash player, you know.
Okay.
He never learned to read till the day he died, but he was able to draw chords for me.
Nice.
And, you know. And
reading's overrated.
Yeah. And he gave me his guitar. That was the first time he handed it to me. Like I said, I was about 13.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what I was doing. I never had a lesson in my life. To this day, I have yet to have a music lesson. I'd like one. Maybe you guys can help me out.
Yeah, there you go. That is what we do here.
I just loved it. And I remember the reason I ever picked up the guitar was Pink Floyd, Wish You Were Here. There's something about it. I remember always listening to my father's music. He would play all the classics, the Eagles, Rolling Stones, everything, Led Zeppelin. And I was so, like, enamored. And then all I did was pick it up and figure out how it sounded and what I would do. Like, you know, little things my grandfather would show me, but, you know, I just eventually learned by ear. So everything I do pretty much is by ear. And then later on in life, I figured out tablatures.
Right on. Well, you know, the thing is, like, ultimately, the ear is the most important part
yes.
of it. If you can do it by ear, then just learning to read music just can... All reading music is like describing what you already know because you can hear it.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's important, but not...
It's your heart. I think when your heart is there with music, you feel it. It's like a universal antenna or something.
For sure.
There are people who can go to school for music and try to learn it, you know, and then there are people who just feel it. And then there's both. So I feel like, yeah, this is both, you know?
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he's such a conduit.
Yeah, he was there for me recently for the song I just put out on my single. I have the whole album coming, about to be dropped, but my producer's like, hey, let's just throw this single out there. Let's get it out. And so we distributed it, but right before, I don't know what it was, he responded to me. Somebody was looking for a trumpet educator, trumpet teacher, and I thought, let me ask Yaz. You know, I feel like Yaz would know somebody. So I had asked him, like, months ago, and he never responded. And then all of a sudden, like, right before I dropped the song, he responded, hey, sorry, you know, I just saw this message, whatever. And then I was like, oh, no, 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 that's all squared away. But can you listen to my song really quick? Help me out. And he was like, yeah, yeah. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm going to give this to him. I'm going to let him hear it. And whatever, he could take a couple of weeks or whatever. Literally 3 minutes later, he responded, okay, so here you go. And he listened to it right in that moment. I just remember, I was like, this guy is so awesome.
Yeah, man.
Yeah,
he has Appreciation Society going on right now.
Yeah.
He deserves it.
He is so... Then one time we went to his show. This was a couple of months ago. We went out to go see him after your surgery.
Yeah.
And Yaz yanked me on stage and made me do Dreams, Fleetwood Mac. I was like with my phone with the lyrics. But he just, it's like ethereal jamming.
Yeah, that was with him
like,
and Alex.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
They're like epic.
Yeah,
I just love
cool.
that it's just the two of them.
That loop
sound,
set that
just,
they do, and it's
so fun. I love that.
That's a Pink Floyd vibe to me.
Like I know
the,
what you
the
mean.
Fact that they take you somewhere else. Just the two of them, you know?
Totally. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Jinx.
Jinx for life. You can't talk me.
So, yeah. In terms of early musical influences, what would you say, like, there's some of the people that you listened to for what you wanted to sound like?
Oh, my gosh. When I was a little girl, do you remember VH1 pop-up video?
Yeah.
I would sit there and, like, I would watch it. My sister would be like, Mom, let's put on, like, Hey Arnold. I'd be like, wait. And Mariah Carey. I remember her just getting on there and doing Don't make fun of me, okay?
She's awesome. Her
octaves and her whistle and her style and Heartbreaker and just like, and I remember looking at her and going like, oh my God, I want to look like her when I grow up. And then when I got older, people would come up to me like, you know, you kind of look like Mariah Carey.
Oh, my God.
like freaking out, you know. But she was always my, to this day, I'll love her till the day I die. And even after, I'll haunt her. But, you know, she just, to me, was, she's from New York. Just, you know, I do hair. She was also, she went to cosmetology school. She was a beauty school dropout.
Oh, that's cool.
A lot, like, I just love her. I don't know.
Yeah, actually, man. She's awesome.
I would say her.
So you guys, you both have your own musical identities, but then it comes together for an album that's in the future, but then also for shows and things like that. Mm. When you're playing shows, how do you balance that? Like, how do you guys play when you play a show?
We are so fluid. He's probably one of the best guitar players. He's the best guitar player I've ever worked with. There's a lot of people who are going to be mad at me right now. But I'm in a band. You know, we're in the Children of Ire. I've been in many bands. You know, I was in Junebug and the Reborn Highway. I was in a metal band, Nemesine. But something about JP and I, we have this, like, natural flow. I don't know if it's because we're both Virgo or what.
Yeah, that's why. That's
are you a Virgo? But we just, you know, it's like we just look at each other. We know what to do. You know, we don't have to. The whole album we wrote was a jam. Like, it was literally...
Yeah, it was like just like...
In one day, we wrote
improvised
a 15-song
album. After improvised song, and just, they just happened. They just popped out.
It was, we just, I don't know. Like, his roots are in jazz, believe it or not. He says reggae, but he's a jazz player.
Yeah.
And when that comes out, I love, like, Billie Holiday and... You know, and so sometimes we end up, like, in this weird niche.
It's weird, cool. Yeah. I mean, I'm a big Pat Martino fan, Pat Metheny fan, you know, Joe Pass, like, the old school jazz players. But then I'm a Mike Stern, you know, kind of guy, too. And then get back to the reggae. So I'm, like, schizophrenic when it comes to guitar playing.
I sometimes wrestle with that misty, you know, like, misty, the chord. The chord melody stuff. Yeah, yeah, I'll sit and wrestle with that every now and again.
It's so pretty. It just sounds awesome.
But we just, I mean, I'm thinking about it, how we do it live. We just, we practice, and then we do, like, my originals and then his originals.
Yeah.
And then our combined songs, and then we throw in our own renditions of covers. We try not to mimic covers too perfectly.
Yeah.
We just do like I'll sing a male song, you know, like, or we just make it our own however we can and try to be as authentic as possible or pull our sound together. And
nice.
People just love his solos, especially the Cougars. They love him, man. They love him. Like, we just did a show in Fort Pierce. Ooh, there's a lot of them there.
Oh, yeah, Manatee Island.
Manatee, yeah. That was back in, like, November-ish, and, I remember I'm singing my heart out, you know, and I have fans and people there. People came all the way from, like, Boca to be at the show in Fort Pierce. And and all of a sudden, like, these women, they're like, they don't care about me. They go right up to him and they're just like, you play so well.
They invited me to the Villages after the show.
Upside down pineapple.
So, Hector is our big gun in the band. He gets all the attention these days. It's actually incredible. Nice. It's not like nothing you've ever seen.
It's actually embarrassing.
Totally. That's cool though. How often do you guys play?
Because ever since we started working with Eric Smithson, which was January, we've been really hyper focused on the album. But we keep getting calls to, like, come do shows and keep getting hit up. So we just recently accepted the Double Roads show, and then...
So May 15th,
we're doing another show May 15th.
Speakeasy.
We keep saying no to the shows right now because we're trying to focus on the album, and the producer is, like, angry. It's like,
I know how that goes, man. I know.
Yeah,
like,
it's like
before you know it, you're just playing so much.
I know. I mean, I used to play shows, like, 5 days a week, and then... And then me and JP and I, like, we were thinking maybe we'll do, like, once a month. And then now it's like, no, it's probably going to be, like, at least 5 times a month.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think it's just getting over. I love it.
You guys doing like full, like 3 or 4 hour
kind of stuff? Four hours. He'll, you know, he has to take a break because he's noodling, soloing, and he's like really. And then he'll get off to take the break, and I'm still going.
She's a workhorse. I mean, it's unbelievable. When we record, she'll like outwork anybody.
No.
I mean, I'm not joking. Like, she'll stay up like all night long.
Oh, yeah.
The next morning, I'm like waking up, and she's like still at it mixing. I'm like, what got done? She's like, oh, I finished the song. I'm like, what the hell, you know?
I just love it.
It's amazing.
It's hard to believe this could be a job. I feel that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They say do what you love and love what you do. And I love hair, and I'm good, and I've been doing it for 20 years. But I look back, and I'm like, man, it's just so easy to do this. It's like you just love it, you know?
That reminds me of this thing that I discovered. Have you ever heard of Ikigai?
No.
Yeah.
So it's like a Venn diagram, and then one of them is what you love, and then you got what you're good at, what you can be paid for, and what the world needs. And if you're right in the middle of that, you found your ikigai.
That's your sweet spot. Please send that to me.
Yeah, I will do. I'll stick it up on the screen because I'm talking about it.
Isn't that awesome?
But yeah, I found out, I just saw it online a couple of days ago. I was like, oh my God, that's awesome.
This is like a Japanese philosophical concept. Man, the Japanese, they know their stuff.
Yeah, kaizen and all that.
They have it all figured out.
And you know what? It's like the in the studio, for example, I'm very process systems oriented, and like I do IT in my day job. So, but the Japanese have systems and processes in place for things, and that's why they're very efficient.
Oh yeah,
it's really really cool.
Oh no, even in my industry with hair, it's like there's a Japanese straightening that's been around over 40 years, and it's something I don't want to get into hair right now. It's one of those things. Like when I perform it, I tell people, yeah, you don't need a fancy shampoo. You air dry your hair and it looks like you spent 4 hours flat ironing it, and it's permanent, and the only thing that comes in are your roots. And people can't believe it.
Wow.
So it's like the Japanese had this figured out years ago, but we're over here doing keratins.
The really interesting thing to me about that is if you look at Japanese culture and Japanese art and Japanese music, as systems oriented as they are with things like mathematics and science, mm-hmm. some of the music that is coming out of Japan right now is absolutely like, I'm really into weird music. I love experimental stuff, but some of the stuff I'm just like, whoa, you know?
Well, they have that kind of like animism in their spirituality, where there's like a god and everything, you know what I mean? And I just find that really, really fascinating. I went there one time. I was really lucky to be able to go there. I had a great time with my band. We only got to go to Tokyo, but that was anywho, we digress.
Cool. Oh, sorry.
Was that with Sonic Boom? Or?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. Where are you at with recording all of this then? So you record at your house, right? Like you got some recording
equipment? I have a studio in my house, and I'm so lucky my neighbors don't care.
Yeah, cause I'm really curious about it because we were talking about a little bit off mic, but like you're running Pro Tools, right?
Yeah. So I mean, that's the central location, and the producer he works remote. Like he has a mobile studio. He shows up at the K2 and everything. We just set up, and I have a loft which has a cathedral ceiling, so similar to like a Zeppelin recording back in the day or a Queen where they would go into the cathedral and get this like natural reverb. So we've got like such a cool setup where we do have some soundproofing, and we've done that much. And I have to turn my air conditioner off, and I have to like put stuff on I have a fountain view, of course, but the fountain is loud. We have to like, the K2 is like, I hear China right now, you know. So like, it's a lot of work, but we make do. We work days straight sometimes with no sleep, but we have a lot of fun, you know.
That's really cool, man.
Yeah.
The air conditioning, the only way I can figure out how to turn I have the same problem with my air conditioning.
I just go to the breaker.
Me too.
That's exactly what it is. Because I can't deal with the once in a while it'll turn on and off, so I just go to the
breaker. Exactly.
That's so funny.
I just pull the thing straight out of the middle of it.
Yes. And then, like, about 3 hours in, especially him, just dripping sweat. And I'm just like, sorry, guys.
And sometimes Christy will call me, my wife, and she'll be like, how do you turn the crank? Because I would have let it off by accident.
Yeah, I do that too. The next day, I'll be like, why is it so freaking hot in here? And I'm like, oh, God, I totally forgot.
Yep. Yeah. No, that's hilarious. We both do the same thing. Yeah, cool. So when it comes to like the music scene down here in Florida, what has your experience been of it? Do you feel like it's supportive? Do you feel like it's good? Or do you have anything to say about like the South Florida music scene?
I loved it. I mean, ever since I started doing music in Florida, I was so happy. I got lucky with another band I was in back in 2010, Junebug and the Reborn Highway. Rodney from Dada's and, you know, Respectables, he loved us and he put us on main stage in Moonfest. And,
nice.
You know, I was always at Dada's and I just enjoyed, you know, things like that. There was a Schnebly Winery close to Miami. You know, have you been?
No.
And that, it's like near Fort Lauderdale area. That, a lot of cool, weird scenes.
Yeah,
and the
wicked.
Keys, like, we're so lucky. Even Guanabanas.
Yeah.
Just the vibes, we're so lucky. Really. Yeah, man. This is such a touristy place to live, but it's also laid back. And I think it's built for musicians.
For sure.
You know? Like,
I think so, too. And, I mean, honestly, some of the venue owners have been really good to us. In particular, you know, Vince at Double Roads is great. I mean, he, you know, he's always supportive of what we do.
Yeah.
I think in general, the scene here is just like there's a lot of camaraderie.
It's surprisingly good. If you didn't know, you know, you'd think that you know, there was someone on here last week who made me laugh because they were talking about like fish sandwich music, you know, like there's the kind of music to play while you're eating a fish sandwich.
Yeah.
And there's a fair amount of that, but there's also everything else you could want, you know, there's a huge range of music down here.
Yeah, we are really lucky, you know. Even like, I love playing Propaganda, you know, just like feeling that.
Yeah, man.
When I was in the metal band, I used to, even the Speakeasy, remember that Speakeasy?
I do remember. You played that a few times.
I played there, and I remember they had this like, it was like a zombie apocalypse theme. And I was in the band Nemesine, and we had like Joey the Toilet and like Brett Ackling on the drums, and we were on the stage, and I remember I had to use the bathroom. We're screaming, and I'm like Evanescence style singing. And I go to the bathroom, and there's blood everywhere, and like little razors, and people were cutting themselves to be like in the scene, and I'm like, oh my God, HIV everywhere. I'm like freaking out, like I was so nervous.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And I was like,
that's
okay, God, it was crazy. Like I remember people just getting so into the scene. Like I don't know, they're real fans in Florida. I feel
yeah,
like.
Yeah, there's some nutters. That's for
I had
sure.
an alias in that band. We're not going to talk about it. Crazy fans.
There's a difference. I feel like in the scene here from like the further south you go,
that's
and like
true.
The closer to Miami you get, the scene becomes a little bit more, I think, commercialized, a little bit more California-esque.
Right.
I mean. Up this way, I feel like we're a little bit more in the touristy zone still, where, you know. And then on the West Coast, obviously, like Fort Myers, that circuit's all the cover circuit, you know. And, but there are a lot of great original acts that play over there, too. I mean, but here, I feel like this podcast is just like a godsend for musicians like us, to be honest with you guys. I mean, like, being able to do this and have this forum to just come on here and show you guys what we're trying to do is just a blessing.
Well, I mean, there's definitely like, I mean, I've lived here my entire life, and you know, for years I was in and out of cover bands and stuff, and so there's definitely these two kind of worlds here in South Florida. You know, and I say South Florida, I mean, you know, Treasure Coast all the way down to Miami, or Keys even. You know, there's definitely these kind of two worlds of, you know, there's this whole cover band circuit, and I have a whole lot of friends that are in that circuit, and to talk to them about people in the original scene, like, they don't even know who I'm talking about. Vice versa, I talk to people in the original scene, and I talk to them about, you know, some of my friends in the cover scene, and a lot of them don't know who they are. It's almost like two separate worlds. There's a handful. A small handful of bands like Killbillies, for example, that kind of crosses that. You know, you guys playing
worlds.
Covers and
it's
originals
so
when you play out.
But we mix it, but you're right.
But there's a very like finite few amount of people that actually
kind of sit in the middle.
Sit in the middle. They're like Killbillies.
Yeah,
I love.
But it is definitely and so.
being in Kill Billy's.
It's also a generational thing, too. 100%.
100%. But then being in Kill Billy's and starting this podcast and stuff, and then sitting with people like you guys, like, I was from that cover scene. And so, you know, now I was like, oh, you know, after 3 years of this podcast, I'm like, holy crap, there is an original scene here, and it's huge.
You know?
Like, there's a lot of original music here, and there's a lot of good original music here. Like, that's what's crazy is, I mean, we're in an age now where, you know, with the internet, that everybody's a musician and everybody's a singer, but there's just a lot of talent down here. It's insane.
That's true.
Yeah. No doubt about it.
So true.
And talking of talent, I think now would be a good time for you to display your talents to us. You up for playing us a song?
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Excellent.
Can you hear me? Should I repeat? I can't reach the shelf because I keep talking to myself, facing feelings I never felt, feelings I need to quell from being somebody else. It's costing me my health, it's costing me my wealth, being someone else. Speak to me, speak right through to me. Imported like a fragrance, so far from my home, vagrants. Peel me like an orange and eat me alive. You wanna see my insides? You wanna see me fly? The wind is gonna blow. Do you think I'll ever die? Queen bee beauty is busy in the hive. Kills me with a smile, but makes me feel alive. Speak to me, speak to me, speak right through to me. I need to feel, burning down the fly. Keep me burning down the fly. Keep me burning down the fly. Burning down the fly. Burning down the fly. Like an orange, peel me like an orange, eat me alive. You wanna see my inside? You wanna see me fly? The wind is gonna blow. Do you think I'll ever die? Queen bee beauty is busy in the hive. Do you think I'll ever die? Feel.
Oasis Root Carver Bar is in Seagrape Square on Indian Town Road, and it is a carver bar. If you don't know anything about carver, it's a Polynesian root that you grind up and you mix with water, and it has been in Polynesia for potentially thousands of years. It's an old thing that they used for kind of ceremonial and also sort of ledger purposes. It's meant to be something where, you know, that brings people together. You all take a shell of carver and chink them together and say bula and have it together like that. It's meant to be something to bring people together. It's has a kind of an effect, which is, I guess, a kind of a slightly warming effect. It just kind of makes you feel nice. It's not particularly intoxicating. It's not like drinking alcohol. So the atmosphere in a carver bar is sort of like a cross between a regular bar and a coffee house. It's pretty chill in there. You get all sorts of different types of carver bars. Some of them are more like a club, you know, there's sort of like black light and EDM playing. And some of them are more like a cafe. This is one of the cafe type of ones. It's super chill in there. If you're looking for somewhere to, I don't know, maybe go and do some work on your laptop or go and have a chat with friends, it's perfect for that kind of thing. There's a foosball table in there if that's your jam, or baby foot as they call it in France. And yeah, Jim, the owner, is a really cool guy, and he has very kindly sponsored our podcast. So thank you very, very much for that, Jim. They also do a poker night in there, all sorts of things going on at Oasis Root Carver Bar. 561 Music is sponsored by Live Music Community. It's where we film the podcast that you're listening to right now, and it's also where I work. Gavin, Hector's son, was a student here for a long time, and in many ways he's the musician he is today because of the teachers at Live Music Community. We taught him not only about his instrument, but also about being in a band, and his band, Unemployed Youth, accomplished a lot of goals, mostly band etiquette, how to work together, and all of the nitty-gritty that goes into being in a band on a day-to-day basis. The student signs up for lessons, learns their instrument, joins a real band, and decides the direction it goes in. And we can take people from very young age, you know, 6 or 7 years old, all the way up to 80. You know, there's no age limit here. We run an adult program for people who want to be in a band as adults. But really, the main focus is on the kids and getting them playing together and in bands. We are also a studio, a live stream venue. We can record audio or video. The Killbillies live album, Warts and All, was recorded here. It was recorded during a live stream that we did during COVID. Justin had a great idea to record live streams during COVID. A ton of bands came in and it was a real success. Outside of that, we can record albums, we can help you with your EPK, and we have full audio-visual capabilities here. LMC is in Palm Beach Gardens on the northwest corner of Military Trail and North Lake Boulevard. And if you go to livemusiccommunity.com, you have all the information you'll need right there. All right, so we just listened to an ad for Live Music Community, and this is the time I ask you guys whether you have any advice for upcoming musicians. Why don't we start with you, Jim Hook?
Upcoming musicians.
You know, like new ones, you know?
New ones, like youngsters, like 12-year-olds?
People starting out, because I don't want to just like make it just about kids.
Okay, yeah. Not an age limitation, yeah. All right. If you're just starting out, you know, my dad just learned how to play like 4 years ago, so I would say, do it because you realize this is a universal language of love. That right, in 3 minutes you can reach India. So remember, like, you can, all of that, it should come straight from your heart. Total authenticity. Yeah, no man. BS. And move with love. Yeah. Like, if you could just be, I think it just, it's right, it'll be right where you need it to be, you know? And if you listen to it, it sounds off, trust yourself, it's off. Mm-hmm. And just keep going until you can get it. And practice makes perfect. And you'll still never be perfect.
That's some of the best advice we've ever had on the show.
Oh, thank you.
It's fantastic.
Really good.
Can you top that,
top
JP?
That. Well, damn. I think the best musician is the one who's having the most fun. I don't think there's anything more to it than that. If you enjoy it and you love it, then do it.
Yeah. I mean, that's solid. I'll take it. We had you guys both play a song that you both wrote. Can you tell us a little bit about that one?
You want to?
I'd been working with a producer, and I was working on, like, collaborative things, and a friend of mine had introduced us, and then before you know it, so many originals were just popping out. And then I said, hey, I want this guy, JP Dragon, to come with us and do a song and this and that. And so the producer came to my studio and JP showed up. And in that same day, we just sat down and just started jamming. And then these songs were just coming out. And Queen Bee Beauty was the first reggae song I've ever done in my life.
Really?
And I remember sitting there, because, you know, I've done blues, I've done metal, I've done rock, but I'd never really done reggae, and I love reggae. You know, I love Rihanna. I remember sitting there, and he just started. And the first time we did it is the song we're going to put on the album. Like, we freestyled it. Those lyrics you heard were a freestyle. The melody was a freestyle on his, you know, just his rhythm, and then he ended up going over that with a nice solo and noodling and, like, intricate guitar details. And
cool.
Yeah, so a lot of our music is just, and I'm a lyricist. I love lyrics, and all my lyrics are very deep, but he's also a great lyricist. So I have songs where he'll give me the lyrics, and I'll sing them because I believe in the things that he believes in, too. So it's really cool.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it's really good.
I love that. And then you guys, I played a little bit of a couple of tunes that that you did individually. Can you tell us a little bit about No More Wasted Time?
Mm-hmm. Should I tell them the truth?
I think you should tell them. Authenticity, remember?
Oh.
Okay, right. So we're talking about moving with love, and JP and I used to be a couple.
Right.
And we had our out moment, and he was... so awkward. So it was sad because we had just done so much music and we were having so much fun, but we had a moment and it was bad.
Right.
And he's like, I'm leaving. Goodbye. And, like, left my, and the next day I'm, like, crying to my producer. I'm like, I don't know what I'm gonna do. And he's like, you're going to do your own song. Like, you know, he's trying to help me get over JP. And we sit there and I just, again, it was like a freestyle moment. I remember just playing, like, the intro almost sounds like No Scrubs. Like, I remember being so angry, and even in the way I was playing, I was so upset. And then all of a sudden, this song came out. Like, again, another one where I freestyled. I had no lyrics in front of me. I just felt it. And I just sang from my heart, and I was so upset. And then I did my own solo. I remember doing, because that was the first time I'd ever done a solo.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm a rhythm player. I'm all rhythm. I like a guitar player to be a guitar player, like a soloist, a lead player. And I respect them. I don't even consider myself a guitar player. I just do rhythm. You know what I mean?
Something, like, to sing along with. Kind of
and my producer's like, you can do a solo. You got this. And I'm like, no, I need JP to do the solo for the song. He's like, no, you got this. And I remember just doing the solo and just getting into it and being like, this is so simple, but okay. And then JP came back in my life. And JP was sorry. Okay. And we worked it out. And it was like, we just realized, you know, the disharmony, but... we fixed, like, the issues, and we were able to, like, communicate. But I was like, gotta tell you, I did write a song. And he's like, let's hear it. Like, he was all smiles. Like, he was so supportive. And he's like, this is a really good song.
It is. It's a really good song.
I was like, don't be mad at me, please. And he's like, no, really, it's really good. And I was like, really? Like, he was so cool, so light. And
a lot of good stuff comes from pain, sadly.
Yeah, it's true. And then he learned it for me. Like, one day he was studying it, came over, and he was ready to play it. And he did it to the point where he was holding the rhythm, and I was able to do my solo, and we played it at our last show. So it was just so funny, because the family and friends that are there are looking at this picture like, what the hell's wrong with these two? There's something really twisted.
There's a reality show coming.
It's all about music. Music is authenticity always. So,
yeah, man.
You know, we had to face it, and I try to look at No More Wasted Time as like, let's not do that anymore. Whatever that chapter was, let's not go back there.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, JP, we listened to a song by you called The Emergency Room. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Great story.
Yeah. So, a couple years back, I wrote that song when I was in the process of transitioning from Connecticut back to Florida. I'm originally a South Florida native, and I had to relocate to New England for 10 or 11 years or so. And then right at the beginning of the pandemic, I was able to kind of come down because I was working remotely at the time. And so I did this transition where I was going back and forth. And I kind of came up with these lyrics and had this old, you know, riff banging around. I think a good friend of ours, Mike Kerr, might have even had something to do with that riff of influencing it.
We have a lot of the same friends. Yeah. I'm glad we've met.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, it's awesome. But I'm not exactly sure how it morphed into what it is now, but somehow or another, I put some of it in Pro Tools and it started to just kind of come out.
Nice.
And then the lyrics, somehow or another, I felt like really displaced from being back and forth, going up and down the East Coast and waking up and not knowing where the heck I was. And I woke up and I had this premonition, like I was in an emergency room and something was happening and I didn't know what. They didn't know what was going on. The doctor was just like, you're going to die and we don't know why.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, okay, so like the buzzards like circling overhead and everything. I mean, it was freaking me out in the dream. And then it was about a year ago, I had a very traumatic event happen. I had an aortic aneurysm out of nowhere.
Wow.
Yikes.
And so I went for a really long run and lifted some weights and went and hung out with.
We had just met.
Yeah, we had just met like within a week and a half, 2 weeks.
Oh, geez.
And,
10 days.
Yeah, 10 days, and then I went to hang out at Amanda's house and
your heart was so full that it exploded.
That's what we think.
That's what it was. Yeah, exactly. And
you had this premonition, like even in the lyrics towards the end, he's so intuitive. It's like freaky. It's he's got like a clairvoyancy thing, like his little, I don't know, but. When he wrote that song, he had showed it to me when we first met, and I was like, that's a great song. 10 days later, the whole song happened.
Wow.
Even the end of the song, he talks about the girl, there being a girl there to take away your pain, and he asked me to come to the hospital. I didn't know him.
Yeah.
I was like, what?
Yeah, she was there and for me. Like, it was major surgery. Like, when I say major, like, I was in an induced coma for multiple days.
Jesus
and they
Christ.
And they were trying to extubate me and they were having difficulty. They thought that they were gonna have to trach me and
doctor was asking
intense,
me to stay because every time I would leave
my heart rate would freaking go up and my blood
crazy.
Pressure
was
would
like
go
we
up
were
as soon as she would leave.
The doctor was like, can you stay? And I was like, oh my God.
Good Lord.
I don't know this guy. I'm like, okay, I'll stay. And then, you know, I'm like trying to help and I didn't sleep for 2 weeks. I stayed right by your side. And then every time I was like coaching him, things would happen, like he would do well. So it was like,
wow.
We were just in sync from the minute we met.
That is awesome.
Crazy. But the song, Emergency Room, was an example of a premonition. He wrote it years ago and then that song happened.
Yeah, that's
literally
wild.
Every detail in that song. So that's why I was like, go from no like that to No More Wasted Time. And now here we are,
JP,
like,
Nostradamus.
Let's get a second chance. Yeah. No, really, it's freaky. His abilities are freaky, though.
That's awesome. What a great story. I'm glad I asked. So what do you guys got coming up?
We got a show May 15th.
Yeah, that's a cool one. That's a little...
It's a speakeasy.
So, yeah. Do you want to...
That's a ticketed seat event.
It is,
so you
yeah.
So you got to get a pre-sale ticket, and that's a... We're launching my original album, his original, and then the collab album. So we got three albums going on at once right now.
Wow.
So
a lot of music, yeah.
Same release date for all of them?
Not
We'll exactly. do like, we're going to try, it's only a two-hour show, so we're just going to give you the best ones, I guess, or the ones that we can fit in that are very popular right now. Or
and in terms of actually how you release the albums, how's that going to go? Have you got like dates for all of those?
He's already...
So yeah,
almost all the way out, right?
I've released, so what I've been doing over the past couple of months is releasing singles, and then I planned on dropping all of them on an album together. That way I could just kind of like do it at my own pace and, you know, feel like there was no real rush. And
I'm doing it as singles of the thing I'm doing right now, and
that's
just with a couple of things I'm doing, and it just feels like it's how the music industry is set up right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, it's true. Yeah.
It's all about content creation. Mm-hmm. So if you drop it all at once, you're done.
Yeah, it's so true. And and that's the new thing for us is we're trying to get good at this video stuff. You know, I've been doing the audio recordings since I was a little kid, you know, whether it was on a little cassette single, you know, track recorder or, you know, a Tascam 4 track or whatever.
Sure.
Throughout the years, it was different technology.
Sure. Upgraded,
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And
I'm the same way,
now the video thing is like the new, you know, focus, and I'm like, how do I do this? How do I wrap my head around this? And
that's where I'm at too. I've been really, really like working on the video.
It's the TikTok generation, man.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
If they don't see it, they don't believe it.
And if it's not vertical, they don't care.
Yeah.
You're not even kidding.
And it's like 1 second.
Yeah.
1 second.
Exactly.
1 second.
She's
like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, I'm not used to the short form content, although it's really easy to edit like a badass part of your solo and then like, oh, look at me, I'm awesome, right? And
totally.
Like the rest of your solo sucks, you know?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of comedians now who are getting big on TikTok, and you wonder, could they actually pull off like a 20-minute set, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They have these snappy little jokes here and there, and it works, but, you know, what are they like if you stick them in a theater and have to watch him for half an hour? It's hard to tell.
I suspect a lot of those are less dynamic thinkers than they appear to be.
Yeah, totally, you know? Man. I listen to like a million podcasts about that kind of thing, and you know, people talking about that all the time. Listen, it's been an absolute pleasure. You guys play wonderful music, both separately and together.
Thank you.
It was
super nice to hang out with you guys.
Thanks.
You too.
And I'm very glad we met.
Thank you for having us. This was so special.
So fun.
You
awesome.
Guys really make it possible for everybody from as young as, you know, just I love the fact that you guys are doing this, you know.
Well, thank you.
I feel that energy, and that's really beautiful.
Well, you guys are just a perfect example of why we do it, because there's so much wonderful talent down here, just, you know, and we're all just trying to be heard and get ourselves out there, and that's what this is for, so.
Yay.
Awesome, thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Take a better scene, it's what we're doing.